On Tuesday, the Los Angeles School Board banned students from using cell phones and social media during the school day. And it got us talking here on WJR. And obviously, it's a problem all across the country and in our state, although no ban is proposed here in our state just yet. But there's this wonderful article in Bridge, Michigan about a middle school teacher. And in 55 minutes, this teacher recorded 30 cellular interruptions. That's amazing, which prompted her to get a little bucket and take the cell phones before her kids enter
one,
her room.
I mean, a 30-student classroom.
Yeah.
That's one per student.
Right.
In 55
minutes. In just less than an hour.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about this further with the new superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools, Dr. John Bernia. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I think, you know, the answer is obvious, but can you give us some anecdotes within your school districts? Because I know you're just joining Warren now.
Well, yeah, I'm headed back to Warren. I was there as their assistant superintendent for a long time, and then I've been in Walled Lake recently. But cell phones have definitely made our work a lot more challenging. And you're right, it's the interruptions, it's the notifications, it's the constant buzzing or dinging that goes on. While the teachers are trying to teach, it's become a huge disruption because it's so noisy and because it's such a it's so rampant. Because as you can appreciate, just from your own cell phone use, right? We all have those notifications that seem to pop up just about constantly. Well, imagine, you know, being 11 years old and trying to navigate school while that same distraction is going on.
You know, opponents of the ban have raised concerns, Dr. Bernia, about students not having access to contact their parents in case of an emergency. Sometimes it's just, you know, the parents are just as bad, you know, by calling, and everything is not an emergency. And I, you know, listen, I came up in the 70s and school, and when they wanted me, you know, my parent would call the office, and the office would get on their little speaker and say, Mrs. Jones, is Lloyd in the class? Yes, could you send him to the office? And that's how they got to me. They could still get to me if they needed to.
Yeah, and our schools are still structured the same way. You know, we still have the main line that families can call and can reach us that way. But you're right. A lot of times, many of the messages or many of those notifications come from the parents of our kids. And so I see the argument that parents want to be able to contact their children in the event of an emergency. I really do. And then I think that sometimes that becomes the call for, you know, if something dangerous was happening or if something bad was happening at the school. And I see that argument, but there's really two sides to that coin. When we have a problem at one of our schools, in Walled Lake, at one of our high schools, we had an electrical problem a few months ago, and it set off our fire alarms and everybody evacuated. And the problem became all of the text messages that went home to kids' parents that really didn't relay the facts.
Yeah.
So in a crisis situation as the school, we're really doing all we can to report credible factual information
right,
as we know it, as fast as we can. But that's not going to be as fast as someone with a cell phone on the scene who's sending information to the parents that may or may not be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases, that actually complicates our job a little bit because of the way that we're trying to manage that.
Well, we actually saw that at the Michigan State shooting, where you had multiple reports that were erroneous of multiple shooters. I mean, things like that. So what is the policy now? Is it on a classroom-by-classroom basis? When my daughter was teaching, you know, she had a shoe bag, and every kid had to come in and put their cell phone in the shoe bag that would hang on the back of the door, because that was the only way to make sure that she had their attention. Is this on a classroom or teacher by teacher basis? And do you think an all out ban would work?
So I that is where we are. And so you do have, we call them a caddy, but you have
exactly,
the caddy hanging over the door where they put their cell phones in as they come in the room. We have a lot of those, and I see a lot of them in our high schools. We have middle schools that have a leave them in your locker policy. So it really is handled by the school or handled by the teacher, depending on how old the children are. Certainly at a high school, that's really more driven by the teachers because our high schools are so large. But at the middle schools, we've actually been able to very successfully navigate just not carrying them or just leaving them in your locker. Yeah. My daughter's a middle schooler, and that's the policy at her school, too.
Who would complain louder, the teachers or the students or the parents, do you think, if you had a ban?
Oh, I think probably a little bit of both, quite frankly.
Because we're all addicted.
I think that, if anything, you know, this letter from the Surgeon General on Monday has really – I think made this part of the national conversation. And I think it's something we should all, it's not just the kids, it's all of us, right? And I think we should all be thinking about how much we're using our phones, how many notifications we get and what we're paying attention to, right? My mother would tell you the person across from you is the most important person. And I think we're all guilty of failing in that at one time or another.
I like your mom.
There's a study that found, I mean, this is obvious, but students who did not have cell phones in the classroom had higher levels of course comprehension, lower levels of anxiety, and higher levels of mindfulness. This just makes sense. What is the argument to not do this?
Well, I think part of it becomes the challenge of enforcement. So if you go through with what, you know, it's Los Angeles is the school board that just voted to ban this. Mm-hmm. But just yesterday in the newspaper, there was an article about the governor of California wanting to do a statewide ban. So what happens when someone, you know, back to what Lloyd was talking about, what happens when somebody calls their kid? What's the penalty for that? And who's responsible to follow up on that? Mm. And, you know, are we penalizing the student? Are we penalizing their parent? Like, what does enforcement of this look like on a very practical level? Because when you jump on saying that we're going to ban something, that means that there's got to be some kind of a penalty in when somebody violates that ban, right?
Right. What, so is it that, detention? Is you're going to have a bunch of kids in detention.
If you get caught with a cell phone, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, and is it the student? You know, my mother called me. You know, what's the answer there? You know, we're putting kids in a very difficult position when they're 12 years old to say, don't answer the phone when your mother calls you or you're going to be punished. As a school, we really don't want to be on that side of that issue.
So if you've got teachers that have said you can't have a cell phone in my classroom or you need to park it in the shoe caddy, what happens if a student refuses?
They usually get sent down to the office, and that's where we have administrators, and they usually, because really at that point, it's not about the cell phone any longer. It's about, are you willing to follow the basic rules of our mm-hmm. school? Are you mm-hmm. willing to do what the teachers ask you to do? It stops being about the cell phone, and it starts being about how you conduct yourselves in our schools.
Should it be a certain age, Dr. Bernier, that a child should have a cell phone in school?
I don't think that there's a certain age or a certain cutoff. I think that it comes down to maturity and how you use it. I think at the secondary level, middle school and high school, where we have kids staying for sporting events and mm-hmm. participating in clubs, you know, as a building administrator, that was really handy to be able to have the kids call their parents and make sure that their rides were on the way or they were going to get picked up or,
sure.
All of those attributes that go along with the convenience of not having everybody stand in a line and use the one phone in the office, mm-hmm. you know, that was really helpful.
Yeah. You know, there's
particularly in an era where we don't know anybody's phone number any longer.
There is a lot of discussion about the kind of content that gets into the classroom. But when every kid has a cell phone, what we've learned this week with some of the media investigations that have been done about what they're shoveling to our 13-year-olds, now you've got, 300, 400 different conduits where really inappropriate content can come into a school. That's a pretty strong argument, too.
It sure is, because the content and the distribution, it's not just that. It's when somebody sees it and then they send it to their friend who sends it to their friend.
Exactly.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. No, there are so many examples like that that underscore, again, how much more complex our work has become because of cell phones and how much of a challenge they present to us. But on a practical level, it's just hard to say we're going to completely ban these things and you can't have them any longer.
Right. Logistics, how this would all work. Dr. John Bernier, new superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools, thanks for your time and for this discussion. It will continue.
Thank you.
By the way, there was a state rep that sponsored a bill that would do require districts to prohibit cell phone use never got out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
Never got out of committee. That was back in 2022.
I think the discussion will continue and maybe something new will come up. Coming up, we talked about it this week, the Safer Michigan Act and the point of view from a sexual assault survivor. We're going to talk to one next at 6:49.